After the band.
Well, welcome, and welcome to our worship this morning, and I trust that you'll enjoy what has been prepared for us. Again, I have to say, tea and coffee is available following our worship this morning in the community hall. There'll be no open air today, so that gives an opportunity for the band to come in to the tea and coffee, and I suggest if they come in and you've never spoken to them, then just say hello. They won't bite you. And also for the band, if you see someone you recognize but you've never spoken to, then have a word. Let's make it a great fellowship. So that's the coffee. Tomorrow, the Sallywags will meet as usual. On Wednesday, Friends Together at 1:30 onwards. And on Wednesday is a special evening at 7:30. It's Music for Remembrance with the band. And it's free admission, but there will be a collection in aid of the Royal British Legion Poppy Appeal. And following the concert, there will be refreshments. That's at 7:30 on Wednesday. On Thursday, the coffee morning will be open from 10 till 12, and the explorers will be meeting in the afternoon at 3:30. On Saturday, the 18th of November, at 6:30, at the Salvation Army in Clacton, our band and songsters will be giving a program to celebrate their 126th anniversary. So why not make a day of it and go to Clacton-on-Sea and then pop in to the concert? Sounds good to me. Now, if you've still got your newsletter, can you turn again to the page which says Speak Up? And on there you'll see some instructions. There are also, I think, a poster, and it'll tell you all about it. And we want as many people as possible to attend this event. Finally, as you know, just a little while ago, Libby's mum was promoted to glory. And Libby and family would like to thank you for your prayers and your thoughts and your cards. And the funeral is on Wednesday at Stowmarket Salvation Army. So maybe you're not able to go there, but please remember the family on that day in your prayers. Thank you for listening. Now over to him, the captain.
If I'm going to be the captain, John, you better start showing some respect. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. It's good to be with you today. And I say this often. I'm going to get my best open air voice on, I think. And I say this often. It's a great privilege for me to stand here in front of you and to look at you. And when I find myself worshipping in other places where I'm not in leadership, I always find myself turning around to look at God's people. Because it's a beautiful sight to behold. Because each and every one of you are made in the image of God. Can you believe it? And that's what's going to shape our worship this morning. So tell you what, have a look around. Have a look around you. Don't be shy. Have a look around. And you're getting a glimpse right now of the image of God. Christine seemed particularly taken by John when she turned and looked at him. But that idea of being created in the image of God is what's going to shape our worship and which is going to form the basis of my message later on this morning. But first of all, we're going to turn and sing in worship the great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I invite you to stand as we do so together. please take your seats. And in those words, we have a sense of the God that has created us and an important image of the God that gathers us here today. I've made a big deal already about us being made in the image of God, but none of us are naive, are we? And we know the extent to which, when we look at ourselves and when we look at those around us, the extent to which that image is marred. So it's with that kind of idea that we're going to sing the next chorus to lead us into a time of prayer. Come, beautiful Christ, radiate thy beauty in me. 'Tis thee I adore, what can I ask more than to live for thee, beautiful Christ? The image of God in each and every one of us is marred. But Christ died to correct that, and he can radiate once again his image through us so that we can reflect it to others around us. So I wonder, we're going to sing this chorus a couple of times, and John will continue to play. But I wonder if in the quietness and the silence of these moments we can take an opportunity perhaps to take an audit, to have a look at ourselves, and to reflect upon that which disrupts and distorts the image of God within each and every one of us. In the silence of our own hearts and in our own minds and our own souls, just to have a good old look at ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit and contemplate the extent to which we bear that image. Let's sing together.
Come, beauty.
Look within. Close our eyes and let's try and push away any distraction that we might be feeling or sensing in these moments. And let us trust and rely on the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us to minister to us in these moments. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence amongst us. work amongst us. Console us, challenge us, rebuke us, correct us, encourage us. Show us how deeply we are loved by the Father. Remind us that we were created for His good purposes. Lead us to forgiveness where we need it. Remove all bitterness. Remove all fear. Remove all pride. Scrub away that which mars your image in us. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We worship you because you created each and every one of us for your own pleasure. We glorify you this morning, Lord, because we are your people. We thank you for your Son who bore our punishment, who died for us, and who came to show us what it means to be truly your created being, Lord. We want to lead lives that are worthy of your calling upon each and every one of us, Lord. So work amongst us. We think of those, Lord, who are not with us this morning, that we are used to sharing our worship with this morning. And we pray for them, whatever the reason of their absence. Lord, we think this morning of Ukraine. It's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, Lord. And we pray for the people there that are suffering. And we pray, Lord, that you would move amongst the leaders of both parties, and that they would seek after peace. We think of our own town of Felixstowe, Lord. It's a lovely place to be. But Lord, we pray that we would play our part in bringing others to a knowledge of you and to the experience of life in all its fullness that trust and faith in Jesus promises us. We thank you for these moments. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I wonder, just to bring this time of prayer to a close, whether we could sing this chorus maybe twice more. But I'm not looking for a performance. I'm just looking for one final prayer this morning. Let's join together.
Come, beautiful Christ, radiate thy beauty in me.
hand over to the songsters now and to Kevin, who are going to bring us a beautiful song, The Majesty and Glory of Your Name. We look forward to the ministry of the songsters to us this morning. Thank you, songsters, for making yourselves available to the Holy Spirit this morning and blessing us in such a way. Brian, you've got a cracker for Facebook and YouTube later that will bless many more than just us gathered here this morning. Thank you, songsters. Thank you, Kevin. Jackie, I've got a little PowerPoint in the presentation I want to bring up, if you can. It should be the next slide. I hope so. Oh, who is this? Is this someone that we know, someone that we recognize? Oh, Felicity, it's Felicity. Next, please. What about this? Bit of a selfie going on here. Who is this? Oh, what about this one? Where is he? Where's he gone? Oh, there he is. Finally, and... whoa, Martha's got one of her little... pauses. Yes, one of... wow, look at this. Yeah, so we all recognise these guys, don't we? Did you recognise yourself? Maybe, she's not going to claim it, but I think that's Martha. Felicity, did you recognise yourself? Lovely. Hudson, was that you up there? And Isla, was that you up there? What? I'm going to ask you a very difficult question now. Was it you, or was it an image of you? It was an image of you. It wasn't you there, because you're there, aren't you? So that picture can't have been you. And there's something similar going on between us and God. We bear the image of God. I've been saying that all morning, haven't we? We are made in the image of God. So is Eva. She's participating and agreeing. But we are not God, are we? So we look like God. But we as people, so Isla, Hudson, Felicity, Martha, all of us. I forgot Eva's name there for a minute. Isn't that embarrassing? All of us are made in the image of God. We are not God. But we are made in the image of God. And we can go out into the world and point people to God, because we bear a family resemblance. So guys, Isla, Felicity, Eva, Martha, everyone, all of us. Let's go out there and point people to God. Right, we've got a song coming up next. And it's the one that's really difficult. So, yeah, I'm going to watch Eva. It's the one that's really, really difficult. The actions are really, really difficult. I recognize that we're still in the learning phase, so I'm not going to pick on anyone yet. But what I do expect is to see 100% participation. So let's get on our feet. Everybody everywhere, put your hands up in the air and sing Jesus, something like that. I'm looking for you. Some of these moves are really difficult. I've not done my warm-ups, and frankly, since I've turned 40, I'm feeling it. I must say, it's coming my way, I think. Let's go. Let's sing together.
From the top of my
very much, everyone. We've got a little bit of work still to do on that one, but we will get there. So I think we won't sing it next week because it's Remembrance Sunday, though. We can praise Jesus in all circumstances, and maybe we ought to. But the next time we sing it, we'll focus on the words. Then we'll have another session on the moves. Then we'll put them together, and then it'll be banging, basically. Lovely. Thank you very much. Children are off to Sunday school. Heather, when do you start junior soldiers classes? Junior soldiers classes start today. How many children, young people do you have? 3/4 people starting junior soldiers classes today. That's something to be super excited about. Woo. Something like that. It's the turn of the band now, isn't it? And the band's going to reprise the chorus that we sang earlier. That we sang last week. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace, and something like that. I was nearly right. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Towards Jesus with a Latin American twist. And we're now going to sing together the days of Elijah, and as we sing together the offerings.
These are Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteous. that's being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are voice of the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. We are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. And at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no one like Jehovah, 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 there's no one like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Ben, let's keep that one as well, shall we? We'll do that one again. Please take your seats. And then almost that one deserves a sermon series, doesn't it? To kind of really explore what it's on about. No, there's no enthusiasm for that in the room. Okay, I get the message. Let's turn to the Word. And as you know, over the kind of last few weeks, I've been encouraging you to follow. So if you've got a phone to follow the reading, it's coming. If you've got a Bible, it's coming. And we're going to, and this is an easy one to find, so no need to be embarrassed. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to be reading from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. While rebuking an overly ambitious student who was proposing, it seems, to reform the entire history of Christian thinking, Karl Barth, the towering figure of 20th century theology, wrote that the Christian's job in approaching the task of speaking about God was to begin from the very beginning. And that's what we're going to do today. And over the following weeks, it's not going to be a series as such, it's not going to hold that tightly together. But over the next few weeks into January. We're going to be looking at some of the major themes of the book of Genesis. So today, we are going back to the very beginning. We're going back to the very beginning and begin with God. In this chapter of the book of Genesis, we see that God's story begins with him creating the world and setting it into motion. God says, "Let there be light," and creates night and day. On the second day, he forms the sky. On the third day, land and plants to grow in it are created. On the fourth day, the sun, moons, and stars are added. The fifth day sees the creation of the creatures of the air and of the sea. And on the sixth day, we see the creation of humankind. And when it comes to humankind, the idea of God blessing us is of supreme importance. In creating us, God seeks to bless us. And God is portrayed in this first chapter of Genesis as a God to covenants with, to share with his creation. He forms his creation out of nothing and creates a people with whom to share this creation where there were no people. In his creation story, we see a God who does not stand aloof of his creation as his creation unfolds. Rather, we see a God who wants to be involved with his creation. In this creation story, we see a God that creates a cosmos that is characterized by its goodness. And God saw that it was good. And in this creation story, we see a God who speaks creation into being and says, "Let us make mankind, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness," and who charges humankind to rule over all living creatures. This God calls humanity to the responsibility of stewardship and care of the earth. And this God stamps his image into humankind's very being and commands us to be fruitful and multiply. So when we speak of God's image being stamped on humanity, we are not dealing with a physical resemblance. Rather, it implies sharing in his identity. God creates, and we are made to reflect back to God and to the whole of the created order his good purposes. We see in the beginning of Genesis how the image of God in humans is how God discloses something of himself about his reality within his creation. Humankind is how God makes himself known in creation. So when we speak about reflecting God's image, about being made in God's image, we speak of what is life-giving, not of what is life-destroying. When we speak about reflecting God's image, we speak in terms of what is good and not in terms of what is bad. So there is power in being created in God's image, but there is also a great freedom. And this is what we forget or try to ignore. Bearing God's image is a blessing, but it is a blessing that we often use in opposition to God's purposes and intentions and the inherent goodness of his creation. Too often, we fail to use this freedom for God and for others. We fail to see how our freedom affects the web of relationships in which we live, including our relationship with the earth. We fail to see how our relationships with God and with others flow out of a deep respect for all life, rather than the manipulation of life for our own ends. In short, we fail to see how our image has become less than what God intended it to be in the beginning. Humanity's image problem begins in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were tempted into eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And since then, we have failed to recognize that our image has been marred and has become a reflection not of God, but of our disobedience and sinfulness. We have failed to see how far we have fallen short of the glory of God, to quote the Apostle Paul, or how, by God's grace, we can be restored. We have failed to see how through God's Holy Spirit we can be changed. And it is only in admitting how much we have been disfigured and that we can be renewed in the knowledge that we were created in God's image in the first place, or that we can be reconciled to Christ, who is the firstborn of all creation, the true image of the invisible God. And again we do whatever we can to cover up or improve God's image within us, to the point that we lose that blessing of freedom to live in fruitful community with others and with God. We lose our moral dimension when we seek to distort God's purposes for creation. We lose ourselves in distrust when we seek to control that which rightly belongs to God. Companies spend millions on advertising to project the right image to potential customers in order to sell more products. Politicians hire consultants to communicate an image of competence and confidence, mainly to influence opinion. Sports stars take performance-enhancing drugs to stay on top, and then work hard to conceal the truth about themselves. There is a sense in which we, humankind, will do almost anything to enhance our image and keep people from seeing who we really are. I've recently joined Instagram. Anyone else on Instagram? Yeah, there's a few guilty parties here. And I joined Instagram mainly to keep abreast of some of my interests. Travel, football, camping, and cookery. But unfortunately, I've yet to find any good biblical scholarship on there. And those that have identified yourselves as Instagram users, I won't be following you. I'll say that straight away. But this social media platform is the epitome of the ills of our age, isn't it? Where people try to portray their lives as being all together, as having it together. Oh, my makeup's great and my holiday in Dubai, but in fact all I'm doing is in a little studio in the East End of London. This social media platform and much in the world around us epitomizes the way that we lie, that we like to lie about ourselves by hiding the reality of our existence under the gloss of glitz and glamour. And we do this easily as salvationists. We are the best at this. My tie is straight. My tunic is pressed. I've brushed it down. My shoes are well polished. But my heart is filthy dirty. I look the part. I try to project an image of myself. Significant issue in our age, and one that we need to steer away from. All of our attempts to enhance our image seek to cover up the truth that we are in need of restoration and redemption. And at the heart of our image problem is the need to recover the calling for which we were first created, to live in true fellowship and freedom with God and one another, and to live in the kind of community of truth that reflects God's gracious for creation. We are creatures to whom much has been given, and for whom and from whom Christ expects much in return. And it is for our image problem that Christ came and suffered. And it is for the promise of new life and blessing for all that he rose and comes to us again today and always. So as we clean up our image and reclaim our inheritance as children of God, let us turn to Christ, allowing him to restore our God-given image. Then let us reflect God's glory back into the world around us. We're going to sing a song together now as we reflect and respond to what has been shared. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patiently, Jesus is waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. And I reissue that calling this morning. Come home. Come home. Remove that which, ask Jesus to remove that which is marring the image of God in your life. Come home. Be restored. Be renewed. Be reconciled with God. We've got this place of prayer in the Salvation Army. We use it because not as a place of shame, do not mistake this as a place of shame, but as a place of victory. A place of new life. And I invite you this morning, if you want to use it, if you're aware of something in your life this morning that's marring the image of God in you this morning, this is the place to do it. It's not a place to show off to people how, oh, look how righteous I am. But where it does come into its own is when we make that declaration public of being in need and of being in restoration. And who knows what impact that might have on others when we take the first step. But that's that. Respond to Christ's invitation this morning. Be made whole. Be made, remade in his image. Trust in what Christ has done on the cross for you. Trust in the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us and amongst you. Let us end. I'm not going to let this go today, by the way, because the Holy Spirit has put this on my heart for this morning. So let us sing together. Let us obey the Holy Spirit and let us respond.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
away from Jesus, feels far away from God. Your life's taken another direction. You've stepped away. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who does not recognize the image of Jesus or of God in them anymore. And that invitation to come home is issued once again. Come home. And what strikes me in this song this morning, and I realize this, and it's perhaps my own sinfulness, but I'm becoming a little bit agitated. But when that happens, it's sometimes the Holy Spirit. But I've got this image of Jesus, and Jesus, look at this language, softly and tenderly, Jesus is waiting for you. Patiently, he is calling for you. Let's continue. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus, your Son who came to show us what it means to truly be human. So we thank you that in him we have a model and an example. But above all, Lord, we thank you that he died on the cross. That though he was truly human and truly God, he endured that suffering for us on the cross so that we might be made new, that we might be forgiven, that we might be restored, Lord. We thank you for that this morning, and Lord, I pray that we would grasp the full significance of that. But we also thank you that Jesus died on the third day, and we thank you that there is always hope, Lord, that where there is death, there is hope. That where there is sadness, there is hope. That where there is grief, there is hope. Where there is disappointment, there is hope, because you are right there in the middle of it, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for your many promises. We thank you that you promised to be with us. And we thank you, Lord, that indeed there is a home prepared for us, Lord. That there is a home prepared for those who trust in you, Lord. So this morning we renew our trust in you, Lord. And we look forward to the glorious future that you have in store for each and every one of us. Be with us in the meantime. We pray in Jesus' name. We close our worship this morning with a great hymn. Number 262 in the songbook, but I don't think anyone follows. Love divine, all love excelling. And I draw your attention particularly then to the final verse. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. And I invite you to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
wonder, love, and praise. Imagine that. That's where we're headed, and that's what we can taste now. But before then, because I would like to taste a little bit of heaven right now, and I've made this big deal about looking out at God's people, but I'd like a smile, please. Yes? Yes. I think I'm going to put a big old sign up there that says, "Smile, Jesus loves you," and take it away with you. What about that? That's a little bit better. And finally, a final benediction. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And maybe it's so for each and every one of us.